Praise God. Is God good? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I want to read to you from the 138th Psalm this morning. In fact, it's not long, 8 verses. I'm going to read the whole thing. And then I want to share with you for just a few minutes before we partake of communion. And I want to talk about gratitude for God's goodness. I don't know what kind of life or experience you are having right now in your life, but I promise you that God has been and is being good to you. Amen. Listen to what David says in Psalms 138. I will praise you with my whole heart. Boy, there's a sermon right there. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the little g gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. How many of you know you're the works of His hands? Amen. Father, may your will be done in the remainder of this service as we share your heart with your people and then as we participate in the renewal of the Holy Communion and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise with all that we are. Amen. Amen. Biblical scholars believe that David wrote this psalm while living in a foreign land, in an idolatrous land. Yet the theme is the Lord's goodness to the faithful. In this psalm, David lists several reasons why he is grateful to be a servant of the Lord. And let me say again, this was written during a time of exile for him. He was not in the best of situations or circumstances, and yet he still recognized the faithfulness of God. He starts by declaring, I will praise you with my whole heart. And the word praise there in the Hebrew is yada, and it means to revere or worship with extended hands, to give thanks or to declare the merits of someone. It is literally like this. I bow and give praise unto you. He says, with my whole heart. Yada is a word that is used interchangeably over 100 times in the Old Testament, referring to praise or thanks unto God. David declares, I will praise and thank you, Lord, with my whole heart before the false gods that are around me. I think we're living in the midst of some false gods. Amen. But he said, in spite of that, I'm going to praise you with my whole heart. I'm not going to remain silent. I'm going to shout it out. I want them, even the heathen, to know that I love you with all that I am. I extol you. I honor you. I exalt you. You are worthy of my praise, even when I'm not where I would like to be, even when I'm far from your tabernacle, yet I will praise you with all that I am. He not only said, I will praise you, but he said, I will sing praises to you. We cannot be thankful with our whole heart if part of our heart is fearful, or part of our heart is bitter, or part of our heart is hesitant or reserved because of the environment or circumstances that we're living in. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. David wrote this psalm of praise at a very difficult time in his life. But he's saying, I am not ashamed or afraid to declare my thankfulness to you at a time when he needed God so desperately in his life. I will not be silent or reserved in my worship. He was saying, I'm sold out. And I recognize your glory in spite of the circumstances I am in. I will be a light in the darkness by exalting the name of the Lord. He said, I will worship toward your holy temple. He wasn't there. He was in exile. But he said, I will worship. And the worship here, literally the word worship means to bow down or to prostrate oneself before another in honor of them. I've never been to England, but I guess you're supposed to bow when you come before the Queen. He is saying, I bow before your presence. I give honor unto you. And I praise your name. I will praise you because, number one, I will praise you because of your loving kindness. I may be in exile from my homeland, but I still recognize your blessings on my life. Genuine worshipers choose to see the goodness of God even in the darkness of their circumstances. If we give in to victimization, we will mistakenly think that we are alone or that we are forsaken or that maybe God is not present. But our God is an ever-present God who helps us in our time of need. In fact, sometimes our suffering can make us even more aware of God's presence because it makes us more aware of our need of His presence in our lives. Hallelujah. In the midst of our difficulties, we know that it is God who sustains us and keeps us. He said, I will praise you because of your word. And the word here is not referring to the written word. It's referring to his speech. It is referring to what God has spoken into his life. How many of you know that God has spoken into your life? You've heard from the Lord before. Okay, I'm not talking to people that have never heard from the Lord, I hope. And that is what David's talking about. He's talking about those promises that God speaks into our heart. Those times when that still small voice tells us, I love you and I have a plan for you. I have a direction for you. I have a life to fulfill in you and through you. He is saying, because the promises of God are eternally set in the heavens. Did you know the Bible said God is not a man that he should lie? Boy, there are a lot of liars in the world. In fact, sometimes they can even be liars in the church. That God doesn't lie. I said, God doesn't lie. He said in Numbers 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie. In 2 Samuel 22 and 30 or 3, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. I'm going to praise you, David is saying, with my whole heart because of what you've declared in the past and because of what you're doing in the present. And because I know that what you have promised in the future is yea and amen. In the New Testament it says yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He's simply saying here, I recognize what you've done for me in the past. I recognize you are still with me right now. And I know that what you've spoken, that word that you've spoken unto me is going to sustain me. And that word is going to keep me. And that word is going to come to pass. My goodness, how many promises of God have been given to us. And the devil tries to steal that word like he tries to steal the seed that is planted. He tries to take the word away from us. He tries to tell us it's too late. It's no good. Maybe because of decisions and choices that we have made. Or maybe because of circumstances beyond our control. But the devil comes and says, nah, that's not going to happen. But David, the psalmist here, though he is in exile, he is saying, I know that your word is true, and I'm praising you because I'm believing that everything you have spoken into my life is going to come to pass. We need to begin to believe what God has spoken to us. Amen? He wasn't on the throne in Jerusalem when he wrote about the faithfulness of God. Number three, he said, I will praise you because of answered prayer. When we're going through a particularly difficult time, it's amazing how quickly we can forget every prayer God's answered for us. We forget every good thing that's ever happened. All that we can tend to focus on is the darkness or the difficulty, the circumstance that we are going through. But in the midst of his exile and in the midst of his difficulty, he is saying, and by the way, I'm not sure if this was the exile when he was running from Saul or if this was the exile when he was running from his own son. I believe myself it was when he was in exile from his own son who was trying to destroy him and take over the throne. Imagine that circumstance. Your own son is trying to kill you. And yet he is declaring his trust in God. And he said, because of you, your word, and because of answered prayer. Listen to what he said. You answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. You know, you can be strong in your soul even when you're weak in your body. You can be strong in your faith even when times are difficult. In fact, that's when you need to be the strongest in your soul. You need to understand that the God who created you has a plan for you, and this may be a part of it, or what you're going through may not necessarily have been a part of it, but either way, God will get you through it. And he said, because you answer my prayers, you have made me bold. I mean, it was bold to praise God in a foreign land. We recognize the little g gods as idols. But those who worship those idols hated those who worship God. You know, it really hasn't changed a whole lot, has it? You know, the world will never love you, no matter how good you are. The world will never accept you if you truly are devoted to Christ. You know, you can talk about God all you want because they see G, little gods. But you talk about Jesus, then they know exactly the God you're talking about. And they get all nervous and upset about that. Hello? But he said, because of answered prayer, I'm bold. The devil wants you to play victim. Ever been invited to a pity party? Rain check. I'm tired of going to pity parties. But if I'm going to go to one, I'm going to be bold enough to just say, I trust God. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be a victim, because once you become a victim, then your faith is bound. But when you recognize the authority and power of God in your circumstances, again, whether they're of your own creation or not, when you recognize God in your circumstances, you are releasing that bondage, because you know that God didn't call you to be a victim. The Bible says he called us to be overcomers. He called us to be more than conquerors. He called us to be sons and daughters of God. He called us to rule and reign with him. We can't continue to be victims if we know what our future is. We may be going through a tough time, but I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul wrote it strong. Be bold in the midst of your suffering in sorrow, because you know that God is faithful. When I pray, I am encouraged in my soul. David is saying, because I know that you answer prayer. There is no joy or strength for those in distress that do not believe that God hears them and answers prayer. Psalm 145 and 18 said, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. And the word truth there really means trustworthiness. So let me read it with that insertion. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in trustworthiness. You know, the Bible warned us, I believe it was James who said, you know, if you're double-minded, you're not going to get much. Actually, you're not going to get anything from God. But he's near to all of those who call upon him in trustworthiness, who know that he is their sufficiency, that he is their victory, that he is the answer to what they are going through. David could praise God with all of his heart because he trusted in the saving power of God to respond to his cry for help. In verse 7, David writes, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." It hadn't happened yet, but he was praising God for the victory that was going to come because he trusted God. Heard a preacher say one time, sometimes you just need to praise God on credit. I don't know about the theology of that, but we need to praise him before the victory, for the victory. We need to praise him when we can't see the victory, when we can't smell the victory, when it doesn't look like victory. We need to praise him. In fact, I have learned that a lot of times the circumstances I am in are tests of my commitment unto Christ. And God wants us to be able to say in the midst of the storm, "Yet will I trust in you." Amen. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. The word "save" there, when he says, "in your right hand will save me," the word there literally means you will free me. You will deliver me. You will preserve me. You will rescue me. It's actually the Hebrew word that's very similar to sozo, the Greek word, in the New Testament. And it talks about all the things that Jesus or that God does for us. Hallelujah. You will deliver me, preserve me, rescue me. You will make me victorious. The word even means safe. Sometimes our faith is struggling so much, it's even hard for us to believe for victory. We just want to survive. That is not what God intends for us. But I can promise you that if he's going to preserve you, he will keep you safe. In fact, the grace of our God continues to minister to us if we will receive it until our strength is restored again. And we can trust him to bring to pass his desire and will in our lives. He said, "I will praise you with all my heart because of you're a loving God who keeps his word and who answers prayer." And then fourthly, he said, "because of your commitment to perfect that which concerns me." If you've looked in the mirror lately, you know you're not perfect. So are you insulting us? No, I'm just speaking truth. In love. We're not perfected yet. But David, long before the New Testament scriptures that Paul wrote to us about in Philippians, says, "You will perfect that which concerns me." I love that verse. That is a verse that gives hope, that gives strength. Because sometimes, even if I know what God's plan is for my life, I may be somewhat hesitant or fearful. But he said, "You're going to perfect that which concerns me." Whether it's perfecting my character, because I need to become more godly, or whether it's simply perfecting my path to the destiny that you've called me to. He's a God that never gives up, never gives up, never gives up on those who call upon his name. Turn to someone and say, "He never gives up." Never. Because of your commitment. I know that where I am right now is not where I want to be. I particularly believe it was his exile from his son who had taken over the throne and was trying to dispose of him. And David is acknowledging, "I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and the situation is not what it should be, but I know that you are committed to me." Do you know that God is committed to you? Do you know that when he was resurrected from the dead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, resurrection that Alan was talking about, when he was raised from the dead, he remained in a human form, Jesus did. That was his eternal commitment to you and I. You see, after he had paid the price, he could have went back to being God the Spirit, but he did not. Why? Because he loves us. Because he wants relationship with us. Because he identified with us. He even identified with our sin to pay the price of our sin. He who knew no sin. And when he was resurrected, he left the nail prints in his hands and the spear place in his side to remind us, I am eternally committed to you. I don't know that David saw all of that or understood all of that, but what David did understand was that God was committed to him. He knew that when he was that boy out in the field taking care of his father's sheep. And he knew that through every campaign and every fight and every battle that he was in. And David was in a lot of battles in his life, sometimes with the enemy, sometimes with himself. But through every battle, he recognized, I am grateful to you and I will worship you and love you and serve you with all of my heart because I know that you are committed to perfecting me. Sometimes we're afraid of God's plan of perfection. Hello? Cutting diamonds into shape is a tricky business. But when we commit ourselves unreservedly to the Lord and trust Him and we do what is right, He will shape us and polish us for whatever the destiny is for our lives. Perfect. Here means to bring to completion, to accomplish the goal or the plan. God, this is not where I'm supposed to be over here with all these heathens. I'm supposed to be in Jerusalem. I'm supposed to be able to get into the temple to worship God. But I'm going to have to worship toward the temple because I can't get in the temple right now because of my circumstances. But I know this is not going to last forever. It will not last. Whoa, man, I just felt the Holy Spirit touch me. Turn to someone and say, your difficulty is not going to last forever. Right now, do it prophetically. Speak that to someone. Your distress is not going to last forever. Man, that was like an arrow that just shot through my soul. God's wanting to speak to some of you this morning. Maybe He wants to speak to all of us this morning. But what you're going through, if you're going through it, it's not there permanently. Praise God. That wasn't in my notes, but thank you, Jesus. There may be times when you feel lost and you cannot see clearly where you are going and you may doubt God's plan for your life, but God knows exactly where you are and He knows exactly what you are going through and He will not forsake you because He's committed to you. God will not only direct your path, He will complete His will for your life if you will continue to worship Him and obey Him and trust Him. For it was in Philippians 1 and 6 that Paul wrote, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, I'm going to worship you with all of my heart because of your mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. The only French words I know are mercy beaucoup, and I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Mercy. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. How long does it endure? How long is that? Forever. He didn't say, all right, you screwed up for the 1,287th time, that's it. No more mercy for you. No, His mercy endures forever because He is a God of mercy. Hallelujah. Over and over, God's word declares He is a merciful God. His mercy is everlasting, without end, continual, perpetual. Even if I fail or if I fall, He continues to look kindly upon me. He is by nature a merciful and a gracious God. I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. This, by the way, is a quote from Lamentations, from Jeremiah. I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah wrote this even as he stared at the rubble and ruin of the nation of Israel under divine judgment. But Jeremiah recognized God's mercy as his covenant of compassion expressed in his consuming commitment to bring us into everlasting communion with him. That's not original, but I like it so well, I'm going to read it again. Jeremiah recognized God's mercy as his covenant of compassion expressed in his consuming commitment to bring us into everlasting communion with him. Even when we deserve judgment, he is committed to restoring the repentant through his covenant of love declared through Jesus Christ, his Son. David said, I will praise him with all my heart because of his loving kindness, because of his eternal promises, because of his response to my prayers, because of his commitment to my perfection, and because of his mercy in spite of my failures. There is no God like Yahweh. He is worthy of all our praise. An attitude of gratitude is a decision based upon our choice to focus on God's blessings rather than life's hardships. I have decided to follow Jesus regardless of the difficulties I encounter. I've decided to worship him and to praise him with all my heart for all my days because I trust in him. If that is your desire as well, would you stand to your feet?